Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to the Naughty But Nice Show. I'm your host, Rob Shooter. And it's Tuesday, which means our dear friend and birthday girl, may I add, Delaina Dixon, Miss D joins us. Hey, Miss D, are you there?
I am here. How are you today?
Fantastic. Happy birthday, my friend. It was yesterday. We called, we gossiped, yes. We chatted. How was your night? How was the party?
Oh, it was so fabulous. I had a little shindig at Terrazzo at the Park Terrace Hotel.
Ooh.
And maybe they made me a spicy cocktail in my honor. And maybe I had maybe one too many. I woke up in my birthday dress this morning.
Miss D. Delaina, that's the only way to celebrate your birthday. It was a pretty dress too. I saw pictures. Hey, we're going to celebrate on Friday. I can't wait to see you, my friend. And maybe
I can't wait.
One too many.
And Happy New Year
too. Yes,
to you.
I spent the New Year with family. It was lovely, lovely, lovely. We've got so much gossip though. Let's jump into the show. What time is it, my friends? It is tea time. This is a wild story at the top of the show. So Kelly Ripa is finally talking out about her complicated relationship with Regis, saying, quote, "There were good days and there were bad days." So Kelly has a new book coming out called Live Wire, and she said the hardest chapter to write in the entire book was the chapter about Regis. And she said, "I don't want to feel like I'm slamming anyone or being disrespectful, but I also want people to know that it wasn't a cakewalk. It took years to learn my place there on Live and earn things that were routinely given to men I worked with, including an office and a place to put my computer." So when she started there, they didn't give her an office. She didn't get a computer. Men did, but she did not. She recalls that she really struggled early on. She joined the show in 2001 following the departure of Kathy Lee Gifford. And she said, "The biggest misconception, and I think I had this too, Miss D, is that everything just came easy." She said, "People think I just showed up one day, was handed the job, and I lived happily ever after. And that's not true." She said it was really, really tough. And when she got offered the job, her agent called her and said to her, you've got the job, exciting, it's a huge job, it's going to make you rich, it's going to make you famous, but it comes with a warning. And the warning is, they want you to know who your boss is. Her boss is Regis, and she said it was very ominous. And she didn't have a, she said she didn't have a good feeling about this, but she did the job, but it didn't come easy, Misty. So when you look at Kelly Ripa, a lot of people who want to be on TV or have been on TV or are on TV, look at Kelly as the apex. She's the greatest, number one show, all this money, a fabulous life, not so fabulous behind the scenes.
Right. I mean, look, we've done television and we know what you see up there. We're all smiling and happy. That's what you get paid to do. But it's a lot of work behind the scenes, the preparation. She talked about wanting to bring a hair and makeup person. That's just it, the basics. And I think Regis said, oh, she looked like she was bringing an entourage. Hair and makeup, basic. And so it's really interesting that she's talking about this now. And it's always hard because obviously Regis isn't with us anymore, so he can't speak out on it. But it just goes to show that it was a challenge even back then for a woman to kind of take this place of authority on a talk show. And she's worked to be where she is now.
She worked really hard. Now, this has upset a lot of people, including Kathy Lee, who's very, very loyal to Regis. And people are sort of offended that Kelly's doing this in the book. We don't know if she talks about Michael Strahan, somebody else that she's not very happy with. When he left the show, we all know how angry she was about that. So I think a couple of things here. At first, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'd take on Regis. He's beloved, plus he's not here to defend himself. But he's sort of like a national institution. It's hard to take him on, but I'm glad she's been really honest. Also, too, I find it really interesting that somebody like Kelly Ripa struggles. You just don't think that. You look at her, and she looks so perfect. She's so pretty. She wears the most adorable clothes. She's so witty. She's smart. You just look at her, and you think, wow, what an amazing life. And then you realize, no, it actually wasn't. And going to work every day was not fun for her. And she had to really fight for it. And she had to struggle. And it was really uncomfortable. And there were days when she didn't want to be there. And you just have to remember, you know, life, it doesn't matter. If you're working today in an office, in a store, I do. Or you're the number one queen of TV. It's a struggle. So you've got to sort of, I think, get to like yourself here because jobs come and go. You don't. Yep. It's really complicated, but it brings us to our poll question of the day. So Kelly Ripa is talking about her relationship with Regis. Should she be talking about a man who cannot defend himself? It's a big question, isn't it? Do you talk about people who are no longer around? He was really upset. He said that when he left the show, he told Larry King that they had no communication. He said he had reached out to her several times and she didn't return his calls. He also said that he couldn't even get on the show. She's fighting back, saying that's not true. The show reached out to him many times to ask him to come back. And she said, quote, you can't make a person befriend you. You can't make a person befriend you. So it sounds as if she tried, or at least in her eyes, she tried and he wanted no part of her. He's telling her, he told a different story. But what do you think? Should she be talking about a man who can no longer defend himself? Hey, go to our Twitter page at Naughty Nice Rob. Our Facebook page is Naughty Gossip. And be sure to check back tomorrow to hear your results. I can't wait to hear what you think about this. Our co-host on Monday, Garrett, his mom worked for Regis and loved Regis. So I know this story is going to make her really, really mad. I can't wait to see your results. Hey, Misty, what are you working on?
Oh, well, let's talk a little bit about Alec Baldwin because he's leaving some eerie messages on Instagram. So this is just 48 hours after announcing the arrival of his 8th child. He wrote on Instagram, lots of changes coming, but my family has kept me alive. And then he continued to say, my heart has been broken 1,000 times this past year. And things in my life may never be the same. Lots of changes coming. Now, we all know what happened on his movie last year. A cinematographer was killed on set when he was holding the gun. And so we're thinking that he's probably speaking out about that. The movie Russ, I know a lot of people are looking to have him have charges against him for that accidental shooting. But he basically is saying how much he cares about his wife, and just they've been together for a really long time, and he's happy that she's there to support him. So what do you think about this, Rob? Do you think he's alluding to what happened on the film?
I think so, but there's more to the story. Criminal charges could be coming soon. So just days ago, the state of New Mexico was given funding to potentially bring forth legal charges after completing their investigation. So they've been doing this investigation now for months. They've completed it, and now the state of New Mexico has been given additional funding to potentially bring forth legal charges. They don't give them money to spend on lottery tickets. The only reason they got the funding is it looks like criminal charges will be coming. And it's interesting, Alec Baldwin has started to sell off property. So he's frightened here that he could lose everything. So his home in the Hamptons, which I think is over like $20 million, is now up for sale. He's also bought property in a state that is protected. So you can't go after property. So I think this is something that's going to happen over the next few weeks. Expect Alec to be charged really soon. Hey, moving along, this new book that's out, Valentine Lowe's new book about the royals, has more really shocking information, including former staffers at the palace used to call themselves. They gave themselves a really ugly nickname. They said they were the, quote, Sussex Survival Club. They were Sussex survivors. So apparently, Meghan's behaviour within the palace was so shocking that the staff was left feeling shell-shocked. So upset, so outraged by what Meghan was saying that they dubbed themselves the Sussex Survivors Club. Now, this sounds awful. It sounds like that people are after Meghan. You don't know who to believe. However, there's another book that's coming out. I just got the galleys to, and it claims that the Queen got cross with Meghan at the tasting party before the royal wedding. They had a tasting at Windsor Castle, and Meghan was very angry about the food and started to really be rough, tough to the staff. And the Queen walked in and said, Meghan, we don't speak to people like that in this family. So if it was just one source here, I'd be like, oh, but it's too mysterious. I think at some point, I like Meghan, and goodness knows I've defended her on this show, on this podcast. But I think at some point we have to listen to all of this. What do you think?
Well, what I find really interesting in this book is that they said that they felt that nothing they could do would make Meghan happy. And basically that they think maybe it was part of her plan to say, nothing made me happy here. And she was doing it with the notion of, I want out, right? So I thought that was really interesting. Like, could she have been that calculated? I know Meghan knows that people are going to talk about her for life. So it's hard for me to wrap my head around that she would have this behavior knowing that someday it would come out. Or maybe she didn't think so because, oh, it's the royal family, so they'll keep everything quiet. But if she was planning to get out, then she would have played it a certain way knowing people would talk about her. Yeah, so it's hard to follow.
Yeah, it's hard to follow. The noise there is becoming so deafening. I've done things like that. I've self-destructed because I wanted to get out of a situation or a job. And so maybe she did do that. The sources I spoke to in the palace said that she just was so different, that she spoke her mind in a way that some people felt was hostile and some people felt was really sort of enlightening. But they said within the royal family, they just didn't speak like that. The staff, the family never raised their voices. And so after centuries of doing that, to suddenly have somebody in the palace who screamed, they didn't know how to handle that. They just shut down.
Did she scream or did she just speak in an assertive tone? In an assertive tone might have been, you know, misconstrued as screaming because they just weren't used to hearing anybody speak that way. So I think there's an American-British thing going on as well. There's a royal versus just not royal thing.
It is, although as a Brit, I know a lot of Americans, and I don't consider myself to be the member of a survivors club. Like, yes, I think Americans can be a little bit more direct than Brits. Brits are passive-aggressive. Americans, in general, in my opinion, are aggressive. But there's no passive about it. They tell you what they want, particularly here in New York. I love it. I actually find it makes life so much easier. But I can see how that would upset people. But at some point, this amount of chatter, this amount of evidence, this amount of accusations, I think it's becoming sort of overwhelming. Hey, let's move on to something a little nicer. Brad Pitt might be dating again. Tell us all, Miss D.
Well, it says here Brad Pitt and Delana Dixon dating rumors. No, I wish. Okay, so Brad Pitt and Emily Ratajkowski have been out a few times together, but we can tell you here they are not officially dating, okay? So, you know, she recently filed for divorce, and so everybody thought they were secretly dating, and what a beautiful couple they would make. Right. But a Hollywood insider has told us that basically they're just hanging out. You know, they've been seen a couple of times together. I mean, they're Hollywood A-list. Of course they're going to hang out together. And you have to understand that Brad has been dating a lot of different people, but he's not involved with anybody right now. He's just kind of going out and having fun. And so, Brad, since you are kind of just going around and dating other people, you know, give me a call. I'm available. We can have a birthday celebration this week.
He would be lucky to date you, Miss D. Although I do think a single guy, well, Brad's now in his 50s, he's probably looking for some company. He knows that if he's hanging out with Emily, the rumours are going to start. Emily knows this too. So I don't know if they're just casually hanging out. When I see guys and girls hanging out together, just the two of them, not with a bunch of friends, I'm normally like, oh, maybe there's some interest there. Our sources, you're right, are saying it's too early to tell. But it's definitely not a no. It's not like they're just best friends and they have no interest in one another. Misty, if I saw you hanging out with a guy, just you and the guy, I'd be like, oh, maybe, and there probably is something there. Do you think that's fair or no?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I'm just hanging out with a handsome gentleman, I'm sure that I'm in the back of my mind thinking, could this go somewhere? Especially if he's single. Mm-hmm. If he was married, of course not. But no Martha Stewart thoughts here. But yeah, I think that's a fair assumption. Yeah. And hey, you know, if hanging out with a beautiful woman is what Brad Pitt wants to do right now, I say more power to you. Everybody should find love in this world, even Brad Pitt.
Should find love. Oh, I love that. In fact, let's use that moment to go to break and we will be right back full of even more love. Welcome back to the Naughty But Nice Show. I'm your host, Rob Shooter, with our dear friend Miss D, who's still wearing her birthday dress from last night.
It's a gorgeous dress. I'm going to wear it a million times.
I love those nights. Look to your left, Misty, and look to your right. Are you alone?
I am alone. It's just me and the balloons here.
Happy birthday. Hey, let's get to the polls. Da, da, da.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hey, so yesterday we talked about Meghan Markle complaining that she was not getting paid for her 2018 royal tour. Should she have been paid? Let's have a look. Wow. 50-50. 50% said yes. She was doing a job. It was extra. You get paid when you do extra work, so she should be paid. 50% said no. It's all part of being a royal. You know? Yesterday I would have said, no, she's already getting paid, she's a royal. But now, thinking about it, if you do extra work, extra hours, if you have to work and travel, maybe she should get a little extra. Don't forget to vote on today's poll. Go to our Twitter page at Naughty Nice Rob, or our Facebook page, which is Naughty Gossip. You can leave a comment there and be sure to check back tomorrow to hear your results. Hey, let's do our nicest of the day.
Aww. Well, our nicest of the day is Tom Brady because he shared a sweet moment with his kids. And this is going on even though he's having a little trouble in the wifey department. So he shared a sweet moment with his children ahead of the Buccaneers' home opener against the Packers. The 7-time Super Bowl champion was seen hugging his kids on the sideline at the Raymond James Stadium in Tampa after they were brought to the game by Brady's mother and his sisters. So there was no Giselle there. Now he has one son, a 15-year-old named Jack, that was with Bridget Moynihan. And of course he shares two children with Giselle. That's Benjamin and his daughter Vivian. Giselle did not make the game. And so people are kind of wondering, she wasn't very happy when he returned unretired from football. But she has in the past said, you know, go get it. Go get him, even though she's not there. So we have to take her at her word.
Yes.
But he's the nicest of the day.
Nicest of the day. I like it. Even when you're fighting with your spouse, make sure your kids know they are loved, and that's certainly
absolutely
what he did here. Our nicest of the day, and now our naughtiest of the day. Naughty, 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 naughty. Oprah's deal with Apple TV has ended, so they signed a multi-year deal agreement. It looks like it's come to an end, so both sides are saying it's an evolution, declining to comment anymore, but they have confirmed that things are changing. Insiders say the deal is over, so a multi-part deal at the moment. They have out this amazing, amazing documentary, Sydney, on Sydney Poitier. Ooh. It's just fantastic on Apple TV+. But no more future deals. I'm told they'll work together on different projects, but no overall deal. It's amazing. Even somebody like Oprah has to fight for this stuff. It doesn't just
absolutely
happen. And so, like, honestly, people out there, this is such a lesson. It's such a moment. You have to do the work. And if you don't do it, the deals end, even if you're Oprah. Ooh. Hey, let's end our show with a moment of Rob, although that almost sounded like one, didn't it? Hey, let's do a real
it
one.
Did.
You get a Rob, you get a Rob, you get a Rob, you get a Rob, you get a Rob. I love this quote. It's from Aristotle, who's not normally the celebrity we quote on this show. We love a Kardashian, a real housewife, but we're going way, way back here. Aristotle said the following, a very wise person said the following quote. There's only one way to avoid criticism, and that is to do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. So if you don't want to be criticized, don't do anything. I want to be criticized all day long, because when you are criticizing me, it means that I am doing, I am doing, I am doing. So the next time somebody criticizes you, your work, something about what you're up to, remember, that's because you are doing stuff. And doing stuff is the way to live a life. Don't do nothing. Do, 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 do. What do you think, Misty? I know criticism hits you hard. When somebody comes at you, you take it very personal.
I do. I do. I just, oh, it just climbs in there and takes up space in my brain. But you know what? It is so important. I've taken so many leaps. I've been criticized about being on TV. I've been criticized by people that I hear through friends and things like that. But again, like you said, I could sit on my couch and do nothing, but then I wouldn't have great opportunities like talking with the Naughties and talking with you and having crazy birthday parties and all the experiences that I've had in life. And so, yes, keep criticizing me, because it means that I am alive and I am doing something.
I like it. Keep criticizing. Hey, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Naughty But Nice with Rob and Miss D Show, a production of iHeartRadio. Don't forget to subscribe on the iHeartRadio app or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. Leave us a review if you can. And remember, all together now, if you're going to be naughty,
you got to be nice.
Take care, everybody. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's Naughty But Nice with Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.